cliffcentral.com.
And I get high with a baby, baby. I just let the bulb get fly with a baby, yeah. And I can ride with a baby, baby. I'll be in the kitchen cooking high with a baby.
Oh, yeah. That's nice, Mum. Just decided to come in here singing. That's great.
I was wondering, what is that horrible thing that they were subjected to?
It was you.
Embarrassing.
Good morning. I'm a new man.
Oh, somebody got some sleep.
I got some sleep. I'm looking. Let me see this app, this goddamn piece of crap app that I have. It says I slept. Look at this. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, fantastic. Look at this. This is fantastic. You want to see what it says?
Mm.
It says that I slept last night for 6.5 hours. Ding, 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 ding.
Look at you.
So it can be done.
Well, man, what was the difference? Did you take any of the advice that was given to you yesterday? Everything from cannabis oil to meditation was suggested.
I got such great emails from lots and lots of people. I don't want to go into all of them because some of them were saying I should meditate. Very, very nice people who all had very good advice, and I read all of it. And you know what? Thank you for all of that because I'm an idiot and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And as Ben says, you know, you sometimes make really dumb decisions for yourself, even though you should know better. It's almost like people are. It's almost like people are in a competition to do stupid stuff to themselves, and then you realize when confronted with overwhelming evidence to the contrary. But I just exhausted myself. To be honest, I left here yesterday at about 10:30. I spent the entire day from 10:30. Well, when I eventually got through traffic, 11 to probably about 4 in the afternoon at this this conference I was at, and then from there I went home. I did an interview, very interesting interview, which will play out when I'm at South by Southwest in Texas in about 2-3 weeks' time, with Gad Saad, who's just the most interesting guy. A professor in Montreal, and we spoke for about an hour and a half, which was fascinating. You know, when you're stimulated mentally, you're not tired.
Mm.
And even in the conference, I was listening to these interesting people talking. I didn't get tired. I had 2.5 hours of sleep last night, and I was fine. Then I got in the car, went through to my folks, had supper there at, 7:30? And then eventually I got home by 8:45, and I put all my stuff in my bag. I didn't do all the work I was meant to do. There were still emails that were left, and you know how I get about that in the inbox.
Mm.
And I just thought, screw it. I put it in the bag, and I went to sleep.
So,
what a sleep. Oh, what a sleep. Didn't wake up once.
So you cut out the subjecting yourself to your laptop before bedtime.
Didn't do it.
Yep. Okay. Blue light.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. I mean, look, I think it's just you have to drive yourself to the point of complete exhaustion. I know this doesn't sound healthy, and
yeah,
there are going to be people who say to me, people are going to call in and tell me I'm insane, but you'd be surprised how much energy you have. You know, you think about how our ancestors lived in constant fear that shit was going to eat them, that they were going to be attacked by other humans, that nature was going to destroy them, that they would starve to death. There was just so much that kept them awake at night. And we sit there and we go, oh, money, money, or health, or
relationship.
Or, those are the things that bother us, right? They are nothing compared to what the humans who came before us had to put up with. So actually, we're just full of it. And those humans worked really hard to live. Think about it. Just surviving a day was like, woohoo, Accomplishment. I made it through another day without being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
Well, remember I was telling you about that Professor Crabtree?
Yes, who had your said, favorite professor, that one.
Yeah. Who had said, you know, if
you
it was...
You don't stop about Professor Crabtree.
You know. I mean, he had said that if it came down to us versus our early ancestors, they would totally kick our asses. Like,
and that's cognitive.
We are weaklings compared to them.
But you mean cognitively, which was his point.
Yeah.
He didn't mean physically.
Yeah.
Well, physically, I still think they would overpower us. I mean, they were like, what, hunting wild animals every
yes.
day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We like go to a drive-thru. Ooh.
Yes.
We're actually so pathetic compared to our predecessors, honestly.
Did you go to the golf yesterday that you were bitching about being rained out?
Yep, got there and it was cancelled. Him and Mashaba got up and said, thankfully we've got rain, but luckily we don't have a golf tournament. Well, just the pro-am. The golf tournament's still going to go ahead.
Okay, so you might just be able to see something.
And I just realized I've just actually got to become a professional golfer. All this dicking around and going to tournaments and playing... trying to get into pram and like play social rounds. I've got time.
Didn't you very nearly? Young. You did very nearly become a pro golfer.
No, I just sort of wasted my teenage years playing golf with no plan. I got pretty good, and then I just sort of gave it up because I wanted to be like, you know, a teenager, which was stupid in hindsight because life really doesn't amount to much as you get becoming older.
No, and you
person.
Did get the drinking and the partying out of your system fairly.
Yeah, so I've got that all out of my system. I'm pretty happy in life as who I am. I make a living doing things that don't take a lot of time. I reckon I should just give it a go. Go
you know
play
what?
Golf like all the time.
Your work essentially is finished here at 10 at the latest.
Yeah, and then I've got maybe, let's push it, 4 hours of ad hoc work here and there throughout the day,
sure,
which
but
I can do.
You could squeeze that in after the sun goes down.
Exactly.
You know, again, exhaust yourself.
Exactly.
You could easily play golf professionally. You're not too old, are you?
Well, golf's not a contact sport, right? So it's not like I need to go and worry about getting big muscle and stuff like that, because I've also realized that's not my game. All I need to do is stay flexible and fit and just get my head right. And then just hit balls. That's all it is.
Right.
Like, I'm never going to become a massively great golfer, but if I can just make one pro event, how cool would that be?
Do it.
Just make one pro event. There's my goal.
Do it, Ben.
Yes.
What's the timeline for this? Like, 2017 as a whole, six months' time?
Okay, I'm 35 now. If I can play a professional event as a 40-something person, that's a decent goal.
You reckon you could get up to scratch within 5 years?
Well, conservatively so, yeah. I'm just sort of, I don't know, I've got to the stage now where obviously having that cough for 2 weeks didn't help. I'm just
you sound so youthful.
Yes, you do.
I'm just getting tired of having these like what's really the big things happening in my life right now?
Do it, Ben.
So maybe there's just setting unrealistic, stupid goals and then...
No, maybe if you take the positive approach rather than being a negative, pessimistic cynic that you tend to be in your default settings. This is why the universe has created space in your life for this now.
Exactly.
So do it.
Look, it is an unrealistic and stupid goal, but that's why I like it.
Listen, you've got the equipment. You've got the time.
See, that's the thing. I'm already sponsored by the brand I love.
There we go. Who are
which,
they?
Cobra Puma Golf.
There we go. So
everything I need is there.
Right. He's got all this orange kit, for God's sake. I've never seen someone kitted out like this before. Professional golfers don't look like they're as kitted out as you are.
Exactly.
You've got access to any golf course you need.
Pretty much. It's all there.
You've got the talent. You know that because you've played your whole life.
Yeah, if I actually just practice for once and get my head right.
In fact, people are messaging me now saying, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He's been wasting time. Why aren't you doing this?
I have been wasting time, but now I'm a well-rounded human I've got very simple needs in life, and I can fit in golf, which would be great.
There we go.
Like, I go to these tournaments, and I always think my one regret in all of life is that I never actually became anything in sport. I know, like, every guy has that after about 3 beers. But I'm actually like, I want to take that seriously because we all sit here in life and we all go, oh, yeah, that would have been great. And we all find all these thousands of reasons why it can't happen.
I'm very happy to hear this, Ben. This is a very big deal.
I'm going to start playing lots
of golf. Can I just say this is a bigger deal than me sleeping properly last night?
Okay.
And you know how my life revolves around just
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Gareth, so well done, Ben.
It's on a par.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. That's terrific stuff. You mentioned Herman Mashaba just a moment ago. He was at the tournament that was, well, the day that was called off because of the weather.
Yeah. So as mayor, it's obviously a big week for him.
Mm. So he was also in an article yesterday. I just tweeted it out. During his interview with us, he revealed a bunch of stuff that you know, sometimes people pick up on these podcasts about a week or two later. This was 2 weeks ago, but they quote extensively from the interview here on cliffcentral.com. Again, we seem to be the fountain of news for a lot of these publications, and I'm only too happy about that. But, you know, for the people who listen every day, this is no news. This is what they get every day for being part of the mix here. And we are in a major drive at the moment to get to every important person in South Africa and hear directly from the horse's mouth what's going on. So expect to hear more of that in the next couple of weeks. Some unbelievable, amazing interviews coming up too, which we've been recording. You know, a lot of the time people can't make it in the mornings because their schedule doesn't allow it. They're too busy for us to do a live interview, but they come in and we get to record and then play it out within a week or so. That's what's going to be happening in the next couple of days. So get ready for that. From the 10th of March, I will be at South by Southwest in Texas again. I'm going to get to hear the amazing Ray Kurzweil, who I've been you remember I spoke about him 1,000 times.
Yeah, you mentioned him a lot.
Futurist. Yeah. So he's actually talking there, which I'm unbelievably excited about. And we've got Dave Rubin coming on the show. I've got Gad Saad. I've got a Free Market Foundation talk that I'm doing in a week's time, which I'll record and we can put that on as well. Mm. So there's lots of good stuff coming up. Anyway, today's the big day for Pravin Gordhan. Not for us ordinary tax-paying citizens. There's nothing to celebrate about Pravin being in charge of the Treasury for ordinary South Africans who are just trying to make a living, because he's going to tell us we need to pay more for Jacob Zuma's corrupt government.
Essentially, yes. Life is just about to become more expensive for you and me.
Right.
Analysts are also contemplating on whether that sugar tax everybody keeps talking about will finally be implemented or not. Or whether it will, you know, we will get a step closer to implementing it.
The sugar tax. Mm. Now, what do you think of this? I haven't asked you. I haven't picked your brain about this one.
Yeah.
Wow, she's digging deep.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're already being taxed for, you know, smoking alcohol and for drinking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes. Yeah. That doesn't seem to perturb or stop people from continuing to drink alcohol or smoking cigarettes. So if the purpose of this sugar tax is to try and get us all to be healthier, they're going about it in a way that we know doesn't work.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Social engineering is a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
And in this case, the government profits off social engineering.
Sure.
Which they put into action. You know what? Leave fat people alone. As far as I've never thought I'd say this, but it is unconscionable that the government should have to get involved in what you put into your body. If you want to smoke, if you want to drink, if you want to eat yourself to a standstill, there is no one on earth who should be able to get in your way. I don't know who these people are who think they need to involve themselves in your life.
Government.
Get out of it. Nobody asked you to do that. You're lucky we even pay attention to you if you're in government or politics. People, personal liberty is a big deal to me, and I think I could say it's for you as well, Mubs. Like, you don't come into my house and tell me whether I'm eating too much chocolate. How dare you? Don't tell me I can't smoke a cigarette if I want to smoke a cigarette. And I'm saying that as a non-smoker.
Yeah, I actually think their whole stance, you know, you using the Department of Health to tell us that, you know, they're doing this for, you know, citizens because they care about our health.
Oh, please.
That's all a big smokescreen.
Of course it is.
It's just another way for government to squeeze more and more money out of us as taxpayers, so they will do it. They will maximize on that opportunity. It benefits them. It does nothing for you, for me.
There we go.
Does nothing. Mm. Nothing.
What do you think, Sia? Do you want people telling you what to do? If they're not even doctors?
Come on.
And even if they're doctors?
Like, everyone needs their own choice. If they justified it in any other way, maybe I would give it the time of day. But not necessarily when it's being enforced on me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that bothers me, is I'll take advice.
Yeah.
You know, like there were a lot of people with very smart ideas about how I can get a decent night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people may be very qualified. A lot of them might be 100 times smarter than me.
No one forced you into the downward dog position and said you must do yoga.
It's right. Well, someone suggested I should do that too. Yeah. But they didn't force
me
to do it.
Exactly. They didn't force you to do it. Why? Because you're entitled to your own decision. You can make your own choices. In whose life?
Yours.
Exactly.
Only yours. Middle class curse in South Africa. Income tax is 41%. There's VAT. There are municipal rates and taxes, sin taxes, toll fees, private education, fuel levies, etc. We are bending over, says Supernova.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and you know who I feel the worst for is for parents, because you do have those education costs. You know how hard it is to equip your kid for school. Forget about the fancy private schools. I'm just talking about normal school. Stationery, uniforms.
Books.
I mean, it's just hectic. And then that's not to speak of university, and we know what's going on at universities. It's just very tough to be a parent these days, and it's tougher now than ever. And Praveen's going to stand up there in front of us today, and he's going to pretend he's the guardian of our economy, and he's the good guy. And like I said yesterday, we've come to a new low if someone like Praveen Gordhan is a hero. He's just ticking the boxes. And of course he's the best of a bad bunch. But how low can you go? How low can you go? How low can you go when this guy is held up as a paragon of virtue? Huh? Come on. Is this the best we can do? I always ask that question to myself. Like after I've done an okay job, I go, is that the best you could do? And often I go, nah, I could have done a whole lot better. And as a country, we've got to go, could we do better? I reckon we could.
Yeah, for sure.
So that budget speech is set to kick off at 2 p.m. this afternoon. If you don't happen to be in front of a TV screen, just, you know, Twitter timeline. Mm-hmm. Just follow on the Twitter timeline, yeah. Because journalists will be giving a blow-by-blow account of all the things the minister's saying. And then, of course, everybody else on Twitter will be climbing on board with their thoughts. So.
Can you throw in a point of order during the budget speech?
Yeah, I think you can. But you see, this is the point. It's like all the opposition parties are just, they're all Praveen acolytes, because they realize Praveen is the only guy who isn't completely diseased in the current cabinet. And they're gonna sit there and listen. They're gonna clap. They're gonna cheer. He's gonna put up taxes, and people are gonna go, "Oh, that's a good thing. It's only the rich." But you know what? Everyone suffers. Taxes is just a bad. It's just a bad thing. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It just means you failed elsewhere, that you have to resort to shaking down your people.
That's exactly what it's shaking people down.
Because there's no other. It's just.
Hey, listen, today, we've got. This is interesting. There's a movie called Keeping Up with the Kandasamis.
Okay.
It's set in Chatsworth and opens up a window into the lifestyle and subculture of modern-day Indian South Africans. You know, the other day we spoke to Zaid in Durban, and we spoke a little bit about the Indian community. And this is something Mubs always brings up, is that we're always so into black and white stuff in South Africa that we don't talk about the coloreds and the Indians as much. And there are interesting cultural aspects to these two, and then there are other even smaller populations. Like there are Chinese South Africans, and there are Zimbabweans and Malawians and all kinds of other people who are culturally distinct from black and white South Africans. You know, we don't pay attention to them. And the Indian community in South Africa is so varied. There's no set Indian community. There are Tamils, there are Hindis, there are Gujaratis. There are a whole lot of different language groups inside the Indian community. There are Hindus and there are Muslims. There are Buddhists. You know, the Indian community, if you think about this, there are over 1.5 billion Indian people in the world. There are only 50 million South Africans. We're not even a drop in the Indian Ocean. And I'm not talking about the actual ocean. So here we are. We think South Africans. We black and white South Africans are such a big deal. If the whole of India had to decide to move to Africa, we would be a pinprick on the map as population groups compared to Indians. And in South Africa, the Indian population is just so diverse and so interesting and so colorful that we don't pay enough attention to it. So today, we're going to get to meet the two of the members of the cast of that movie, Meshni Naika and Madhusan Singh. And I'm very excited to talk to them. They're coming in to talk about that movie. And then Letsego Zulu, who is, she's a totally an interesting person in her own right. But most people will know who she is because her husband, Gugu Zulu, died less than a year ago climbing Kilimanjaro with the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And of course, he was a hero for so many people because he was such a big deal in motorsport in this country. He was really someone who a lot of people considered a great role model. A young guy, had his whole life ahead of him, had just started this young family with Letsego. And she's got a lot to talk about, and clearly we have lots to ask her. So she'll be popping in just after 8 o'clock this morning. Busy day.
Busy day. That's how we like to keep it.
Damn right. Yesterday was Flaming Alan Ford's birthday.
Oh.
Yes.
Folks, did you not just pick up how 40,000 people were born yesterday?
What?
Was it just me?
40,000 people born yesterday?
Well, like everyone was celebrating their birthday.
Oh, no.
Who else was on your list? I'll tell you who's on mine. I'll check mine.
Okay. Yeah. On my personal Facebook, I had five.
Wow.
Then
that's a lot.
It was Mugabe's birthday.
Oh, yes, of course, Mugabe. Yeah.
Rihanna turned 29.
Oh, yes, it was Riri's birthday as well.
Oh, Riri.
my girl Riri, my friend.
Oh, Riri. Okay.
No, but
just a lot of birthdays.
Okay, but you just reminded me. Today is actually the more important day compared to everybody else's birthday yesterday.
Oh, really?
Ben,
who am I forgetting?
Ben, I am warning you with peace
okay,
and love.
Yeah.
You cannot mess with this person today.
Oh, shucks.
Today is Jane Malachi's birthday, okay?
Yes.
Just for the record, I don't mess with her.
No,
she messes with me.
Ben, I'm not getting involved. I'm just warning you.
All right.
Either
with peace and love. All the peace and love in the world.
Jane is Jane's in charge of the office here. Listen to this. I had a conversation with her the other day. She saw me on TV on Afternoon Express last Monday, right?
Oh, listen, what does she have to say?
Jane, you say I look good on TV, but not in person.
No, in person you look like a demon sometimes, but on TV you look so perfect. Your hair, it was like, you just put some gel and stuff and the makeup was sweet on you. Mm. But face to face, when I look at you now, you don't look the same.
I look terrible.
Maybe I have to do the makeup every day for you. You don't look terrible, but you don't look like...
I don't look good.
You don't look good, actually. But on TV, you look good.
Thanks, Jane. You really, you make me feel good.
There we go. How's that?
You look like a demon. Yeah.
And that, by the way, that's her idea of a compliment.
She's
terrifying.
Today.
Plus, Jane's pregnant at the moment, so she's up and down emotionally, and you know how that gets.
I don't, like, I just feel like she sometimes takes the easy way out with her pregnancy. Just to not do anything.
You are so brave.
To not do anything, hey, but to say everything.
You know what we haven't done for a long time is welcomed all the people who haven't listened to us before. And there are new people every other week. So if you've just started listening to podcasts, I met somebody yesterday who's just started with those. And you've never done this before, and this is your first time listening to us. We'll take it gently with you. We're always very careful on the first time, right, Mubs? We use quite a lot of lubrication.
Yeah, we take it nice and slow.
Yeah, so if you've been shocked already by anything we've said, then send me an email. I'll mold you into being chilled and calm about things. You don't have to feel that you've entered a new universe. This is still part of Earth. We still handle normal stuff. We'll get into some news in a moment. I'll guide you through this. Hold your hand. Podcasts are the best. And if you listen to us live, that's also good because then you get to hear the recording of the podcast. I explained this to someone the other day. You know how you go to the Jimmy Fallon show and you sit in the audience and you watch them record it at 5 p.m?
Yeah.
Or you wait till it comes on TV and you watch yourself in the audience at 11.
Which is what most people will do both.
That's it. Sure. So here you get the option to do either of those. You get to join us live in the morning because we're morons and we get here at 6 a.m. Or you get to listen to the recording, whichever you prefer. It's whatever works for you. So welcome if you've just started listening to podcasts now. Let's get into some news with Mabale Moloi. Mabs is busy gathering all the news from all over the place, and she is going to give it to you. She's going to give it to you. Mabale's going to give it to you.
Isn't that how it goes? You will take it and you will like it.
All right, let's get into this. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. And if you don't know already, Colcacchio Pizzeria was established all the way back in 1992 in the foreshore in Cape Town with a fiery passion to create only the finest gourmet Italian-inspired meals. After 24 years, their name has become synonymous throughout South Africa with Italian-inspired artisanal food, including a broad range of crisp, thin-based pizzas and a variety of freshly prepared salads and pastas. Colcacchio Pizzeria, they are the reason you crave pizza. Take it away, Mabale. That was actually a version recorded by one of our listeners.
Thank you, Jim. That was great.
Isn't that nice?
That's bomb.
Yeah, beautiful. I like that. Okay, so look, yes, the budget speech live from Parliament from 2 p.m. this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of analysts and, you know, people in the know, experts and the like, they all agree that basically the finance minister is faced with a tough balancing act.
No.
Describing his situation or likening his situation to walking a tightrope here, Gareth, because what the market is really looking for is consistency, and they're looking for delivery on promises that have historically been made. A big talking point which is expected from the finance minister today is the promise of radical economic transformation. This has always been a big talking point. It's also been the point, the go-to point that politicians like to, you know, use and abuse in their favor at times, but it is still, you know, something that South Africa needs to see nonetheless, is this radical economic transformation. So from 2 p.m. this afternoon, you'll get to hear exactly what the finance minister has to say. And then, you know, maybe Anthea also has some insights that she can give with regards to what we can expect from the budget speech a little bit later with the money shot.
Let's check in with her in, just about 25 minutes' time.
Yeah.
25 minutes' time, and you'll be able to hear from Anthea, who gives us the Daily Money Shot.
Now, in the meantime, the African National Congress West Rand branch. Oh, man. You know, people have had busy days this week. They condemned what it says is a fake advisory about a media briefing to clarify Brian Molefe's membership. It all started yesterday when a former Northwest ANC branch secretary claimed that Brian Molefe was never a member of a ward in the province. So his membership was questioned yesterday. Mm. According to Christine Malula, who is the former branch secretary in the Madibeng region, she said that Molefe's membership has never been found. He has never participated in branch general meetings. She said she did not know the former Eskom CEO and said he was never a member of the ANC in Madibeng's ward 29.
The devil is a motherfucking liar.
Now, the ANC in the West Rand says this is an attempt to tarnish Brian Molefe's name. How dare they?
You know what? This is how crooked and corrupt politicians are, all of them. I will refer to something now because I get a lot of noise from people who say, oh, well, you know, you're happy to smack the ANC around but not the DA, which is such nonsense. The number of times we've said awful things about the DA. I listen to any show.
The ANC, the DA, and the EFF.
Yeah, we give them equal amounts of rubbish. So here's the deal. They call this parachuting in. They parachute in a candidate to a certain ward. Sometimes in the case of Brian Molefe, they just wipe someone else right off the list.
Yeah, somebody had to resign so that he could be accommodated. He was forced to resign.
So imagine how angry that person is. And then they parachute you in. They did this with the DA. They did it with Glynis Breitenbach. They brought her in Pretoria somewhere, and just took out the other candidate. So this happens. This is how cynical they are about their business, politicians. They need someone in a certain place. They don't care if the people of that community want that person or voted for that person. They go, tough titties, you guys are getting this person, whether we like it or you like it or not.
Now, the Northwest leadership claims Molefe has been a member in the ward since 2011 already.
Yeah.
And, you know, they claim that it was their decision to nominate Brian Molefe as an MP, and the decision was not imposed on them, as was reported yesterday. All of this was, you know, fabricated and said to basically try and tarnish Brian Molefe's name. Now, whether you believe that Brian Molefe was a member or not is actually irrelevant, because he is officially going to be sworn in as an MP today. Yes, the same day that the finance minister delivers his budget speech. It's all happening today, folks.
Oh, so great.
Yeah, he's officially being sworn in. So
what an exciting day.
It no longer matters what you think about Brian Molefe. Actually, he's in.
All right.
Okay, and then Parliament have released a register of the financial interests of MPs, which is something that, you know, we are interested in as civilians, because, you know, we like to see how MPs how their finances are being managed.
Well, we like to know also what kind of gifts they get.
We like to know the kind of gifts they get. We like to know the kind of investments that they're involved in, which companies or other business people they're involved in, because we feel entitled to that information.
Well, we are entitled to that information because these are our public representatives, and we want to know whether they're being lobbied in an unsalubrious way. You need to know, who is paying for the lifestyle of your ministers, your MPs, your political parties? The biggest problem in this country, in my opinion, and I've had it explained to me by Musi Maimane, by Julius Malema, and by the ruling party, the ANC, that political party funding is never disclosed. So we don't know who's paying, who's making big donations to the political parties. That information they keep very, very quiet.
Mm.
So that's bad enough, because who knows what dangerous arms dealers, international criminal syndicates, ISIS, and I'm being obviously dramatic here, but we don't know that these people aren't being funded, that our leaders aren't being funded by these very nefarious characters all over the world.
Right.
People like, I don't know, billionaires who want to influence the state of South African politics. Some of them might be good, some of them might be bad, but we have no idea. Now, the political parties say, well, especially the minority parties, in this case the EFF and the DA, they say if we revealed who funds us, the ANC will go after these people and they'll cut them out of South African business. And we've seen that happen before, so that's a legitimate claim. But wouldn't we want to know, shouldn't we have a right to know who funds the political system in this country?
Well, I mean, we talk about being, you know, you say that we are entitled to know, but members of parliament and ministers are surely not required to declare all if they don't want to. So, for example, many of the Economic Freedom Fighters MPs, including Julius Malema, opted not to disclose much, Gareth, except for the fact that, you know, Julius Malema has got interests in some family trusts. He did, however, say that he does not attach any monetary value to the trusts in question. And then people like the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, he declared shares worth more than 132 million rand. He also owns 32 properties. He's a director of a number of companies, including meat abattoirs. He's involved in two local McDonald's franchises and also a charity trust.
Who's this?
Our deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
132 million rand.
Yeah, shares worth 132 million rand in different companies.
Didn't he get out of McDonald's? I don't know that he's involved there anymore.
Well, according to this report, he's involved in two McDonald's franchises, Gareth.
All right.
Now, he was trying to sell last year, though. Remember we covered that story.
Oh, okay.
He was looking to get out.
Now, according to one political analyst, Daniel Silk, he says that any serving MP or minister can own shares in listed companies. He says there's nothing wrong here.
They just have to declare them.
Yeah. Indeed, most state pension schemes have similar portfolios and other related entities, including some political parties and trade unions. He said that the holding of banking stocks should simply be seen in the same light. And he added that if members of parliament face criticism for this, for owning shares in companies, then any state-related entity investing in similar companies should suffer the same critique. So if you have a look at the finance minister, for example, he also declared a number of things. So, for example, Pravin Gordhan's interests, they range from as little as 200 rand invested to 200,000 rand. They show that he has invested in some of the biggest JSE-listed companies. His portfolio of shares span from major banks, mines, brewers, real estate investment trusts to retailers, telecommunications and transport services. Some of the big names that he's linked to include MTN, Pick and Pay, Steinhoff, Growth Point, Naspers, Tiger Brands and Aspen.
At least a few of those are very questionable investments. So maybe his investment advice isn't so great. But I will say this. You should be able to own all of that. You should be able to have interests outside of politics, but you should declare them. I'm very suspicious if you won't tell us what your business is.
And who regulates what you declared? Or is there a board?
No, you're meant to, first of all, any gift you receive over, I think it's 200 rand or something.
Yeah.
You have to declare it to parliament as an MP or a cabinet minister.
That's why Mbalula had to declare a meat pack priced at 201 rand.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, some of the things that you'll find in this list where ministers declare gifts they've received range from pairs of socks. See,
this is ridiculous.
Little things to tickets to, you know, big festivals. Mm-hmm. I mean, the finance minister disclosed gifts that total an estimated value of 3,000 rand. He received all sorts of stuff from people like Nestle. Chris Becker and his family sent him some stuff. Mm. The Embassy of Palestine and Iran sent him some gifts.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Right.
Colcacchio Pizzeria could also be the reason why I crave Mabali's juice, says Obakeng.
Oh, dear.
Obakeng, very excited this morning.
Can I taste your juice?
All right. And then this is from Josh Todes. He says, hey, Gareth, Ben, Mab, Sia, good morning. Quick question. All of the extra shows on Cliff Central that don't fit into the normal time slots, is there any possibility you'll extend to 24 hours to give all those extra shows set time slots as podcasts, so even throughout the night there are different things to listen to? Just wondering out of interest. Regards, Josh from Israel. Keep up all the amazing work you do. Love your show. Well, Josh, you know, there's so much stuff. To do a live lineup past 6 in the evening, we play out stuff live as if it was live, and some of it, like the Renegade Report, is never recorded. It is never played out. It's never done live, so it's always recorded. But, for example, that comes on at 6 on a Tuesday. And you can go and listen to old stuff. You know, the point is it's content on demand, so you get to choose your own playlist effectively, and you get to decide what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it. That's the beauty of podcasts. I don't want to be the one who's programming that for you. You should be able to decide for yourself, like you decide what music you want to listen to. By the way, this morning, the music that we will listen to, we only get, if we're lucky, 3 songs in a show. Mm-hmm. And Sia Sangweni has chosen his for today. So, well, don't clap yet. Let's let the audience, let the people decide.
Please, you know. Thanks.
In the meantime, it's time for Ben to give us an idea of what's going on in sport. Ben, over to you.
Well, New Zealand got 289 for 4 in the second ODI in Christchurch.
Right.
Right. So, Quinton Nicok got another 50. Hashimamla got 10. Faf du Plessis got 11. JP Duminy got 34. And currently the crease is Avery de Villiers and David Miller. Now, David Miller is back in the team, which is fantastic, which means that Farhan Behardin has stepped out. And the Proteas bat all the way down to number 10, and they just might need it too. Currently 177 for 4. Mm-hmm. They require 113 runs with 6 wickets in hand. Just got about 15 overs to get it. So that's pretty exciting. And tell you what's also exciting is Afghanistan versus Zimbabwe.
Ooh.
Afghanistan.
Two really great, powerful countries.
Yes.
Face off.
Now, Afghanistan absolutely hammered Zimbabwe in the first 2 ODIs, and they're about to do it again in the third. But tragedy struck, okay? Zimbabwe rolled out for 129 runs. So, I mean, I think if we were going to go bad, we'd have a fair dig at that. Afghanistan were absolutely killing it. They needed 9 runs with more than half the overs to go, and they had 5 wickets in hand. They lost 5 wickets for 5 runs, and somehow they ended up losing. They got bowled out for 126.
Wow.
So, Oh, interesting that. The third T20. I say interesting because let's not say it's match fixing just yet. It's just a little bit tragic. And Afghanistan are still pretty new at this level. Australia will take on Sri Lanka today in a T20, which is a dead rubber essentially because Sri Lanka already won that series. And then tomorrow in Pune. India will be hosting Australia. Started their 4-test series. Now, Australia are pretty shit when it comes to test cricket in the subcontinent or in Asia, call it what you will. They've lost their last 8 matches there, mostly because they just can't play spin. India, well, just like a Venus flytrap, they bring you in and they just basically chomp down because they've got the 2 best spinners in the world. I say the 2 best spinners in the world because they only ever play on spinning pitches. That's what India do because they own cricket. So that's cricket right now. So if you are late for work, it's fine. Proteas, they should do this.
All right.
If they do, it is the longest ever winning streak for the Proteas in one day international cricket. Last night in football was the Champions League, and there was a whole ton of goals. Lots and lots of goals. So many goals, Gareth. 14 goals in 2 games. Man City beat Monaco 5-3. Really exciting match, that. And Monaco, well, they could have been 3-1 up, but then they fluffed a penalty chance, and then Man City came firing back. So they put 5 goals into the net, which is kind of like the Man City we expect. Aguero was pretty handy yesterday. So 5-3, they go up in the first leg of the last 16 there. And then Bayer Leverkusen, they hosted Atletico Madrid, and they lost 4-2. So tonight, we'll see Leicester travel to Spain, where they play against Sevilla. 9:45 South African time. Porto will then take on Juventus, and that's your Champions League for the week. But last night in the PSL, Sundowns, well, they play some beautiful football from time to time. They really do. On a mostly waterlogged pitch, they beat Platinum Stars 2-1 with a late goal towards the end there. And then tonight we'll see Supersport United versus Maritzburg United and Fitz versus Baroka FC. Now, we all know the story of Sutton United, right? They made it to the FA Cup 5th round, and they were beaten by Arsenal on Monday. But now the big controversy is around their big substitute goalkeeper, Wayne Shaw.
Is he big or is he a big deal?
Gareth, he's fat.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe rephrase that. Gareth, he's fat. So he ate a pie on the bench during the game, right?
Really?
Just Google Wayne Shaw pie and just look and image search that.
All right, I'm looking for it now.
Okay, so this sounds quite whimsical, right? So we've got a team here that basically get paid in chips, and they've made it to the FA Cup where they're playing Arsenal.
He's a big guy.
But it's all gone badly for Wayne Shaw and Sutton, okay? Because it's a lovely fairy tale story. They played one of the big teams in England. But it was all overshadowed by this pie-eating incident.
Oh.
And this is where it gets murky, right?
Yes.
There was 8-1 odds that Wayne Shaw would eat a pie on the bench during the match.
Oh, wow.
And he ate a pie.
Huh.
So, that sounds a bit fishy, doesn't it? Well, I'll tell you what gets really fishy is that, you know, the Sun, that rag in England?
Yes, of course.
Say all kinds of salacious, sure, horrible things. Well, they've got their own betting company called Sun Bets. And Sun Bets had 8-1 that Shaw would eat a pie on the bench, right?
So they're saying that this was a setup.
Well, it looks a bit fishy, Gareth. So now he has resigned from Sutton in a tearful display.
The goalkeeper had to resign?
Well, he's gone. He's resigned from the club amidst controversy. So obviously the gambling board's going to say, hang on a second.
That's just him eating the pie, by the way.
Hang on a second. We know he's a fat bastard, but to eat a pie with the cameras of the world on him, that's a little bit too coincidental. So 8-1 was the odds, right?
Fat bastard.
Now, if you go into Sunbet's Twitter account, you'll see a tweet here with said pie in said fat man's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, cost us a bellyful. We've paid out a 5-figure sum after Wayne Shaw 70 finishes his pie with glory. So, marketing stunts, insider trading. This guy is rumored to have been associated with Sunbets as the brand is seen on his clothing from time to time.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a bit sad. But then again,
dodgy.
You know, that's when the big time comes to the small town, huh? Corrupts them village folk.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And I expect nothing less from the Sun.
Sunbets.
Yeah. I mean, any of these rags. It's just disgusting.
Right. So that's football, huh? Controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Sio Khaleesi is now officially the Stormers captain, and Eben Etzebeth will be the vice captain for the season, which kicks off tomorrow. Tomorrow, 10:45 South African time,
mm-hmm,
you will be able to probably miss Rebels versus Blues. It'll be an error-strewn game, and the Rebels will just try cling on while the Blues run the ball ragged. So going Blues by 6 there. But more predictions tomorrow because we've got a full weekend of that. In golf, yeah, there's just loads and loads of rain, unfortunately, right now in Johannesburg. But it didn't rain this morning, so hopefully with a bit of wind and some dry conditions, they might get underway tomorrow in the Joburg Open. It's a pretty decent field. And two fantastic golf courses at Royal Johannesburg and Kensington. And I'll still bring you more news there. I'm going back there today just to have a pitch report for you.
Very good.
Yeah. And then it's the Honda Classic in America, which is one of the big events. And yeah, it's so they've had the West Coast swing on America because that's where the better weather is. Now they go into Florida where they play a whole bunch of really big high-profile events, all gearing up for the first major of the year, which is the Masters in April.
All right.
And yeah, lots of football. Pies, rugby, that's pretty much it for your sports today.
Fat people and pies, huh? It's a thing. It's a real thing. It's a well-known trope.
Yep.
That fat people love pies.
Oh, crap, the Proteas just lost a wicket. Ish Sodhi is always dangerous. And with that, David Miller is gone. Edged it behind.
That's Anthea's theme song. She works hard for the money. This morning's Money Shot on Budget Day with Anthea Gardner. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right. First of all, somebody asked me yesterday, we don't talk about hashtag invest every day. Of course we don't. I mean, sometimes it's kind of in the stock market reports that you give us that some of our positions have gone up or down. But we don't talk about it every day because we don't want to bore you to death. And there are, you know, a couple of hundred, maybe even a couple of thousand people who are fascinated by this because they actually have some skin in the game now. But if you want to find out more, you can always go to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com and sign up for hashtag invest. It's going very well.
We've even got a hashtag invest.co.za website.
Oh, very good.
So you can go straight to that as well if you want.
Marvelous.
Yeah, and it'll explain the four portfolios and how to apply and register your account. You do have to register the account on Easy Equities. I think we mustn't. That's the platform where it is hosted. You know, the FICA gets done.
Right.
You hold your shares and that sort of thing. But we manage it, so we have a model portfolio we manage.
Right. And in case you don't know what it all is, in a very very summarized form, this is basically one of those very rare things that comes along which allows ordinary people to get invested in the stock market from as little as 100. Rand. So you don't have to be a big, high, heavy roller to get involved here. In fact, Anthea, we don't know for sure, but Praveen Gordon had to declare all his gifts and all of his financial assets to Parliament yesterday. For all we know, even Praveen is in hashtag invest.
He might well be.
All right. What are we looking at on budget day?
Okay. So I think the Rand is probably kind of the biggest concern at the moment. It seems to have had a very delayed reaction. I mean, we're all talking about Molefe's appointment as another step closer to state capture. So you think it would have weakened significantly. It weakened yesterday by a little bit to 13.16 by close of trading day. But again, this morning, it's 4 cents stronger, 13 rand, 12 cents to the dollar. So just completely baffled. I would watch this rand today, though. What time is budget speech? 2 o'clock, I think.
2 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be all over the place. Really, it is.
Hmm.
And then yesterday, European shares stood out for me. They had quite a good day after they had release of fairly good economic data. And Europe really has been a bit of a worry for investors in the last couple of months. There's lots of talk about elections and unsustainable Greek debt. But I get the sense that all is not lost economically, actually. And they've had a series of good data points recently. And the Euro Stoxx 50 index is, in fact, 10% higher since the beginning of December. I mean, it's not phenomenal growth, but it is at least, you know, some signs of life for them. So I just thought I'd point that out because I had a look at it yesterday.
All right.
Our markets, we were pretty mixed yesterday. Resources outperformed the banks and the retailers. Steinhoff did not let us down. It continued up. Lots of companies reporting this week, just incredible numbers coming out. So I'll just focus on the main ones today. And the first one that we must look at is ShopRite. They reported interim financials yesterday, really strong operational set of results. They managed to produce the strongest revenue growth in South Africa in their peer group. And when I say peer group, I mean the retailers. Mm-hmm. 14% up. I mean, which is great. And, you know, we always break that down and look at profitability. But it actually resulted in a small margin improvement in their trading margins to about 5.8, I think it was. And Woolworths was the only one that was stronger than that we've seen so far. And that was at 6.9%. Exceptional growth for ShopRite in Nigeria and Angola. Revenue was up 52% in constant currency. And when I say constant currency, I mean local currency. So in Nigeria, the Naira, and in Angola, they have the Kwacha. Mm-hmm. And the problem there, of course, is that in Nigeria and Angola, they actually have a lack of money. And so the difficulty will be repatriating the cash to South Africa. And if Nigeria sees another currency devaluation, it will hurt when it comes to translating those profits into rands. I think this was the last financial reporting for Whitey Bison, actually, because he's now stepped down as CEO. And Peter Engelbrecht will take over. But it's not bad for Whitey Bison. He leaves quite a legacy. Eh? They've got more than 2,000 stores in 15 countries. He's been in the role for 37 years.
And he gets a lot of heat and flack from people who see how much he's paid himself over the years or how much the board have paid him. But, you know, someone who's managed to show such success in the numbers deserves and whatever they want. I don't think the shareholders have any problem with it.
You sound exactly like Dr. Christo Visser now. He said he would literally pay any amount of money for Whitey Bison. And it's not just kind of creating wealth for him and only kind of the you know, Whitey Bison or Visser or the founders, but all the jobs he's created, all the shareholders, if you've had that in your pension fund, how that has increased. And, you know, that's the kind of thing we want in hashtag invest. We want to see success stories like that.
Sure.
Anyway, Billiton also reported yesterday their first half numbers. EBITDA and profit after tax broadly in line with expectations, but cash generation was very good. They managed to reduce their debt by $20 billion and their gearing by 24%, which means that they were able to give shareholders a nice increase in dividend.
Hmm.
I know we own it in hashtag invest portfolios, and off the top of my head, I think it's we own between 4% and 5% in the equity portfolios. So that'll be a nice boost and we'll get a nice little cash payment for that.
Terrific.
And then one we don't own is Imperial. They also reported really not a great set of results. Headline earnings per share down 15%. And they decreased their dividend by 14%. So just very disappointing. I mean, I think generally Imperial has been fairly resilient. In what is pretty much a tough market, we were excited about their expansion into the UK through Palletways last year, but it's kind of not going as well as it should. And also they've had a delay in the sale of one of their businesses. They are expecting a nice windfall of about 3 billion rand this year. It's proceeds of sales of non-core assets that they're doing. So it's certainly one to keep our eye on, I would say.
Okay.
And then two things before I go. A share we do own, Mediclinic, they put out a trading statement yesterday. A little bit disappointing. Effectively, they're downgrading this Middle East again. And so, you know, we bought into it because
they're expanding. People in the Middle East not need hospitals?
It would appear so. It would appear they're healthier than they should be.
Damn it. I mean, can't we have some – can't we have more problems in the Middle East? I mean, I thought it was such a stable place. Of course, I'm being sarcastic as possible.
Yes.
Surely
yes.
Hospitals in the Middle East is a no-brainer.
Well, the places that Mediclinic have exposure, Abu Dhabi and Dubai, I think maybe,
I see what you mean.
That's it.
It's not like those are the most dangerous places in the Middle East.
Exactly. I mean, I think the integration of the business is going well.
They should open one up in Kandahar in Afghanistan. Then we'd have some serious cash flow.
But can they afford to pay their hospital bills is the next question.
No.
Well, maybe that's the problem in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
We'll look into it. And then finally, we have some news on who we think bought the huge Murray and Roberts steak last week, Friday.
Yes.
And apparently it's a German family called Helmig. I think that's how you pronounce it. H-E-L-M-I-G. Never heard of them before.
Okay.
They own an investment holding company called Aton, A-T-O-N, and which owns businesses that provide services, products, and machinery for mining and shaft sinking.
Right.
So it looks like they're going to combine their Murray and Roberts stake with their mining industry business called JS Redpath. It's still particularly baffling that this Helmig family wouldn't go directly to Murray and Roberts, and why they pay such a huge premium. So there's still lots of question marks hanging around, hanging over this deal and why they bought this stake. Because Murray and Roberts did say that they had no idea who was buying. I mean, it doesn't look like a hostile takeover. Maybe it does, actually.
Do you want to reconsider that?
Yes. Well, there you go. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm quite intrigued to see how it all plays out.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
Well, I'll be stuck to the TV at 2 o'clock for budget day today.
You can do it for all of us, because for most of us, it's just very,
you don't
very
care.
Dry. Well, I don't
care.
I don't care to have someone tell me that I must pay more for a government that wastes my money. I think that that's how average South Africans feel. And I'm not talking about income tax only. I'm talking about all the other things that are added over and above that, that we never consider. The stuff that is sort of the slow creep of the revenue service on everyone's pocket. So, no, I'm not excited about the budget speech. I'm not excited about Pravin Gordhan. I don't think he's a hero. I think he's just the best of a very, very rotten bunch of people. And I think he's going to try and do whatever he has to do to balance the books. But in essence, we're spending more than we have. And the people in this country who work and who are productive are being squeezed far too hard. That's my summary of the situation.
That's a good bottom line summary, actually, I'm afraid.
Thanks, Anthea.
All right. Have a good day.
Cool. There we go. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot, daily at the same time. And if you want to know more about hashtag invest or any of the other stuff, go to The Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. You can also hear all Anthea's previous commentaries. You can go and download the bunch of them if you feel like it and listen to them one after the other if that is your thing. Here's Sia's first choice for the morning. It's old school. That should get you in the mood. Wednesday on cliffcentral.com. cliffcentral.com.